from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 27th day of October, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. And K-State's Dan O'Brien will join us closer to the bottom of the hour to take up the agricultural energy markets. Along the way, we'll hear from statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota, and about the slow harvest pace in all of those regions. And then as we close out this half hour, Don Day will help us decide whether or not those combines will move and where that'll happen in the Midwest as we take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Here's the way the numbers settled in Chicago. Futures like this: December corn down 7 1/4 today at 370 3/4. The March at 383 down 7. May corn at 391 3/4, 7 lower. And July at 399 1/2 down 7. September futures at 405 3/4 down 4 1/4. In Kansas City, nearby December wheat futures for the hard red at 510 1/2 were down 20 1/2. December soft red in Chicago at the Board of Trade, CME Group, 503 1/4, down 23 3/4. March contract there, 522 24 1/4 lower. In the May wheat at 534, down 23 3/4. Soy complex now, November beans 13 cents lower, $9.73 1/2. The final trade on the day, January at 976 1/2, down 12 1/4. And the March at 978 1/2, down 9 3/4. May soybeans 974 1/4, down 7. July at 975 1/4, down 4 3/4. December bean meal today, 287.60, down 7.20. January at 281.90, down $6.10. December oil at 37.48, 15 cents lower. January at 37.93, down the same, down 15. October live cattle unchanged at 86.12 1/2. December at 87.10, down a nickel. October feeder cattle at 93.85 unchanged. Noves at 95.85 down 2 1/2 cents. December lean hogs at 55.42 1/2 up 1.97 1/2. The February's at 61.70, 87 1/2 cents lower. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, December contract, $79.55, a settlement price 87 cents a higher a barrel. January at 80.15, up 78 cents. November ethanol, $1.98, 0.9 cents higher. Natural gas traded at 4.57 1/4, rather 4.57 2/10. Finished 5 9/10 cents higher. The RBOB at $2.06 7/10, up 3 3/10. And the heating oil at $2.05 1/2, up 2 1/10 cents. That's diesel fuel. November propane, not trading, of course, today. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 9,912. Currently up just about 44 points on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar is higher as well, up 0.07 at 76.1. 3 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like this afternoon from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tonight in Illinois, cloudy, some periods of rain during the evening and spotty showers and drizzle after midnight. In Indiana, cloudy, periods of rain. Lows will range this evening from 42 in northwestern Illinois to 52 in the far southern parts of Indiana. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy early, then a mix of clouds and some sunshine. Highs tomorrow from 57 in far northwestern Illinois to 67 in the far south. The extended forecast says rainfall through Wednesday morning should range from a trace to a few hundreds in the northwestern parts of Illinois to more than a half an inch near the Ohio River. Dry weather returns on Wednesday. Will continue Wednesday night into Thursday, bringing a brief period of drying. Rain will then return to the western part of Illinois Thursday afternoon and to the rest of Illinois and Indiana for Thursday night and Friday. Rainfall this time around will be locally heavy, with some central and southern locations likely to receive well over an inch. More on the rainfall when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with Don Day of Day Weather. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. We always talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He's with us this afternoon. Hi, Wayne. How are you today?
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's rainy, a little soggy, and looks like it's going to continue to be that way. Producers I know are on edge in your area. I want to know why it is that we have a down day on a Tuesday after a down day on a Monday, and we have rainfall in the Midwest.
Well, I think a couple things going on. We started the morning with a little stronger dollar. It faded a little bit as the day went on, but we stayed fairly strong there. And we did have stronger crude oil here is later in the day, but early in the day it was a little bit soft also. But the main thing that we looked at was, number one, that the weather forecast does look a lot better starting with next week for another 10-day period that we might be able to get in the field and make some progress, number one, along the way. We also saw that some of our export sales seemed to be running out of steam when we got near the $4 mark and over the $10 mark in the beans. So, that put together along with some of the funds rolling out of the Novembers here before they have to have their limits down, a few things like that going along just basically got us in an overbought situation, and we're sitting back here to what might be more realistic numbers as to where the demand will really pick back up again, Todd.
I made note in the yesterday's USDA crop progress reports that while not much had happened over the week for either corn or soybeans, and probably less than the trade had expected, that on the flip side, not much had happened in the condition of the crop either, and both remain in really good condition comparatively to previous years.
You know, it's somewhat amazing. We hear and keep seeing stories and reading stories about the damaged beans in Mississippi and Louisiana and parts of Arkansas, and hear the horror tales of 40% and 50% damaged beans coming in from those areas. I think that we're also hearing some stories about how maybe what we're losing in those areas is being picked up with a little better anticipated yields here in Illinois and Indiana and parts of Iowa. You know, we've heard from some of our clients that the Minnesota and northern Iowa beans are pretty well out, but the corn is still out there, and people aren't quite as worried about corn standing in the field as they are the beans standing out there. So, you know, we have really made tremendous project last week over in our area on the beans. You know, we're probably less than 20% of the beans are left standing over, in an area over in our neck of the woods. So, we're a little nervous. We'd like to get out and get that corn, but it's not near as bad to be thinking about the rain that you talked about there with a cornfield as it is with bean field, Todd.
You know, no bean settled 13 lower at 973.5. Do you have a mark below that somewhere that you think it might stop, or is this a place for it to pause? It looks like this is a retracement area of the last move.
I think that we hit the areas that hit support. The November beans, the first support was 991, but then we backed on down. And I think that as we're looking here today, the 980 was another resistance that we popped through today. And I think then now we go down to 68 and then 64 as far as our next lines of resistance on the charts there, Todd. So, you know, I think that 370 is probably a very important number on the Dease corn.
Mm-hmm.
Close below that, I think, that protects down to 64. And then, of course, we break through the 62 to 64, where then we're looking at 46 again. So, that's more of the big number we're looking at, seeing if we do see a little bounce back. Since the close, why the dollar has weakened just a little bit, it's only up 10 cents as we speak now, and the crude oil has strengthened up 71. So we could actually see a little bounce in tonight's trade, especially if we see a little more rain in the forecast here going into the weekend. But all in all, I think that we've sort of put the idea in many people's heads right now that we've got very strong resistance at $4 corn and $10 beans.
Right. Do you think the producers ought to be making cash sales even on crop that they haven't pulled out of the field yet?
On what they haven't pulled out of the field yet, we tried to go ahead and pull the trigger on some of that about 20 cents ago.
Right.
Do we do it now? I think that probably it will be at a lower price down the road in a couple weeks. We do get the clear weather in a couple weeks that way, but we're probably not near as aggressive here as we were just last Friday.
Okay, thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Tom Testel and Morris at 815-941-2184. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week, both of which you can find on our website at willag.org. Here's the way USDA's numbers were released yesterday afternoon for crop progress. Crop maturity for corn advanced last week by 7 points. At 90% complete, progress 6 points behind last year, 9 points behind the rolling five-year average. Development to maturity was most active in the Great Lakes and Indiana, where average temps were warmer than normal. Harvest advanced 20%, 17 points behind last year, and 38 points, or over 3 weeks, behind the average. With the exceptions of Kentucky and Tennessee, corn harvest was slow across much of the growing region, as soggy fields and continued rainfall limited field work. Overall, 69% of the corn crop was reported in good to excellent condition. That's down slightly from the ratings last week, but 5 points better than last year. Soybeans now harvest advanced to 44 points complete, 31 points behind last year, 36 points or over 2 weeks behind the five-year average. Harvest was most active in Ohio, where producers utilized 5 days suitable for field work to combine 41% of their crop during the week. Overall, 65% of the soybean crop was reported in good to excellent condition. That's unchanged from the ratings last week. Winter wheat, nationally producers had seeded 76% of the 2010 winter wheat crop, 6 points behind last year, 9 points behind the rolling five-year average, seeding most active in the Corn Belt and Ohio during the week, following the rapid harvest of the delayed soybean crop. By October 25, 59% of the crop had emerged, 7 points behind last year, and the average. The most significant delays were evident, of course, in Illinois and Indiana, where crop development was 41 points behind normal. Overall, 62% of the winter wheat crop was reported in good to excellent condition. That's 3 points below the ratings of last year. Now, here are the statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota with updates from their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending October 25, 2009. Wet, cold, and cloudy conditions, a common theme for Iowa's October weather thus far, again kept combines out of the fields for most of the week, resulting in further harvest delays. While producers took advantage of the dry weather on Monday and Tuesday, field work came to a halt for the remainder of the week as heavy rain fell across the majority of the state. The statewide average precipitation was 2.47 inches, or more than 4 times the weekly normal of 0.53 inches, which pushed the monthly total to 4.19 inches, nearly double the October average. There are only 1.9 days suitable for field work during the week, the third consecutive week that farmers had less than 3 days conducive to complete field work. With the additional rainfall, topsoil and subsoil moisture levels across the state maintained their high ratings of 99 and 97% adequate to surplus, respectively. Nearly all of Iowa's corn crop is now reported mature, with 12% of the corn crop harvested for grain, 7 percentage points behind last year and 19 days behind the five-year average. Moisture content of corn being harvested is estimated at 23%, 5 points above the five-year average. Corn lodging is rated at 68% none, 25% light, 6% moderate, and 1% heavy, while the corn condition was rated 76% good to excellent. Soybeans harvested reached 47%, 39 points behind last year and 3 weeks behind the five-year average. With the condition of the crop rated 72% good to excellent, soybean shattering is rated 78% none, 17% light, and 5% moderate. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Margie Whitecotton reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending October 25th. Temperatures averaged 52 degrees, which is only 1 5/10 degree off the state average. Precipitation was 1 4/10 of an inch above average, with the state receiving just over 2 inches of total precipitation. Topsoil moisture supplies continue to saturate this week at 30% adequate and 70% surplus. Farmers are watching their crops tread water in the southern districts as they showed 100% surplus topsoil moisture. The corn crop ended the week at 88% in the mature stage compared to 98% 1 year ago. Only 14% of the corn fields were reported harvested compared to 44% 1 year ago and 77% normally. Overall, 63% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition, with 35% in the poor to fair category and only 2% very poor. The Northwest Crop Reporting District had the best corn condition with 81% good to excellent. Soybeans in the shedding leaves category advanced to 98%, well in line with the 99% 1 year ago. 33% was reported harvested for soybeans, a jump of 20% from last week, while 60% of the soybeans were harvested 1 year ago. Statewide, 56% of the soybean crop was rated in good to excellent condition, down 7 points from a week ago. In other crops around the state, 25% of the sorghum crop was reported harvested, compared to 73% normally, and soft red winter wheat seedings advanced to 33% compared to 82% for the five-year average. This has been Margie Whitecotton, agricultural statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending October 25, 2009. Little harvest progress was made due to wet, cool conditions. Snow fell the last half of the week in western and central counties, with widespread rain limiting the number of days suitable for field work. Temperatures averaged 5 degrees below normal across the state. Corn harvest is now over 3 weeks behind the average and has made the slowest progress since 1982. Soybean harvest is similar to 2007 at 11 days behind the average. Winter wheat conditions were below year-ago levels. Most of the winter wheat has been seeded and over 3/4 has emerged. Pasture and range conditions continue to rate mostly good or excellent. This is Becky Summer with the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending October 25, 2009. Cool, wet weather limited harvest progress again this past week. Statewide, 1.9 days were suitable for field work. Producers harvesting corn and soybeans reported wet fields and high grain moisture levels. Soybeans were 44% harvested, compared to 91% last year and the five-year average of 93%. The statewide average grain moisture of soybeans being harvested was 16%. Corn harvested advanced 3 percentage points to 6% harvested. That's 22 points behind last year and 42 points behind the average. Crop condition ratings declined last week. Soybeans rated in good to excellent condition fell 4 points to 63%, while corn condition fell 3 points to 70% rated good to excellent. Average temperatures were below normal at nearly all reporting stations. A large area of rain spread over central and southern Minnesota Tuesday night and continued into Wednesday. More snow fell across parts of east central and southern Minnesota on Friday. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending October 25, 2009. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Our thanks to the statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota for those updates.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On Tuesdays, we always take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Today, Dan O'Brien of K-State University Extension, ag economist located at the Northwest Research Extension Center in Colby, Kansas, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hello. How's it going, Todd?
All very well. Hey, I've got a couple of questions for you up front before we get to this paper you sent me earlier in the week. In Colby, Kansas, how long have you been there and how has it changed in terms of crops over the last 20 years or so?
I have been here since 1995. What we've seen is a real move toward away from wheat fallow rotations towards very intensive wheat, corn, grain, sorghum. Forget the fallow if we can. So we've become a lot more intensive in our use of land. And, of course, the worry out here with the Ogallala Aquifer as it is for groundwater supplies is the degree of depletion rate that we're involved in as we use up the aquifer to irrigate corn and other things. So we've got some real natural resource issues out here to deal with.
You've had a wet season, though, this season, if I remember correctly. How's the corn holding up? Is a lot of it still standing?
A lot of it's still standing. Our harvests have been delayed just like so many of yours have. It's amazing that this weather pattern has affected both the east and the west. So generally we had some hail around the area, which is common probably everywhere, but what wasn't damaged by extreme weather is looking pretty decent.
All right, so let's talk about this paper that you sent me. It's titled Corn Supply Prospects for U.S. Ethanol Production. First, why don't you lay out the supply and demand figures for corn as they come to us from USDA and what that means with ethanol for this season?
Well, at this time, it seems like, barring any real surprise in just the lateness and quality of corn, it seems that we have adequate supplies of corn for almost all uses this year. The total supply, of course, the USDA came out on October 9th and forecast a U.S. corn crop of over 13 billion bushels, giving us a record high total supply of about just under 15 billion bushels, even greater than the 2007-2008 year. So by the time you factor in a bit higher ethanol use, about 4.2 billion bushel, about 5.4 billion bushels of use of corn for livestock feeding, and a little bit of a recovery in exports, we still have just about the same ending stocks figure we've had over the last 3 years. And, I think that we ponder just where the direction of corn supplies and demand are going into the future. And at least as you try to gauge what wild card might come into this supply-demand scenario, you probably look towards exports as we have over the last several years. You know, we have a pretty good idea of what feed usage will be. Now we have had expanding use of ethanol, if anything, maybe leveling some. But really the wild card, depends on the value of the dollar and supply prospects for feed grains overseas. And the U.S., with its predominant position in the U.S. in the world corn market, you know, averaging 60-65% of total corn exports annually over the last 3 years. Again, if there's a glitch or a blip in other parts of the world in terms of their feed grain production, coarse grain production, well, they come knocking to our door. And barring any surprise like that, it looks like...
That's Dan O'Brien. I'm Todd Gleason.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. A couple of local health administrators say there's no telling when additional doses of H1N1 vaccine will arrive from the state. Julie Pride with Champaign-Urbana Public Health hopes to hold clinics in all county schools next week, but a limited number of doses could mean treating only grade school-age kids or just those on free and reduced lunch programs. CUPHD is holding the last of its clinics for preschool kids today. It's for 2 to 6-year-olds at Rantoul's Community Services Center. It goes on until 7. And on the University of Illinois campus, McKinley Health Center has now treated more than 1,000 students for swine flu, and 5 cases have required hospitalization, although students have recovered. Director Dr. Robert Palenka says things have remained very busy, but they haven't been overwhelmed. Meanwhile, Illinois' public health director is urging patience as manufacturers try to meet the demand for swine flu vaccine. Damon Arnold says there will be enough to go around. A county-by-county guide to where vaccine is available is on the health department's website. Search for Illinois H1N1 shot locations. Republican Eddie McKenna has jumped into the race for governor with a promise to clean up Illinois. He called himself the quiet cure for government corruption and mismanagement during his announcement in Chicago. The former chairman of Illinois' Republican Party also bills himself as an outsider who would bring new ideas to Springfield. McKenna promises to hold the line on taxes while still balancing a budget that's billions of dollars in the red. The University of Illinois will be part of a plan from the federal government to redesign the nation's electric grid. The $3 billion effort will include software from the U of I's Information Trust Institute that will keep the improved software safe from hackers. Institute Director Bill Sanders says the smart grid will require more computerization on the distribution side, like equipment that delivers power to a house, and on the transmission side, such as the data network that supports power generation. Indiana House Speaker Patrick Bauer wants to revamp state ethics rules so that lawmakers would have to wait a year after leaving office before becoming a state house lobbyist. The South Bend Democrat also wants lobbyists to report gifts of more than $50 given to legislators and candidates instead of the $100 reporting requirement currently in place. Bauer's proposal would also restrict companies that win major state contracts from donating to state office holders. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason on the line with us today. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, it looks like the weather next week might be pretty good for at least those folks here in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio to get some harvest started. And I suppose they're harvesting this week maybe on some clear days in Iowa and the Western Corn Belt. Is that right?
Well, yeah, we do have a storm system that's going to be coming out of the Plain States and Rockies here that we're going to have to get that system through the area. And this is going to be a system that may bring some areas of rain, especially to the Western Corn Belt as we get on into Thursday night, into the day on Friday, and even into Saturday early. Now, beyond that, we'll see some high pressure come on in and a drier trend developing. So we don't have a perfectly dry forecast. But after this system comes through Friday, Saturday, I do see a drier trend developing.
Oh, I was more hopeful maybe than I should have been that the guys in the Western Corn Belt could move. But they had a really wet week last week, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And the system that's coming out of the Southern Plains and the Southern Rockies is going to be a big precipitation producer. The saving grace, at least for some areas of the Corn Belt, is that the heaviest moisture will be directed a little bit more north and west than the last band of moisture, but there's still going to be some concerns for wet fields in some areas.
And then, speaking of wet fields, the folks in southern Illinois, southern Indiana, parts of Missouri just remain soaked and continue to get that today.
Yeah, and there's going to be only a little bit of help in the longer term. I do see it coming, but in the short term, there's still going to be some moisture problems there.
What do you see next week?
Well, next week, I think we're going to have a fairly quiet week of weather across most of the nation as the current stormy pattern is going to take a little bit of a breather. So there's some opportunities there. It's not going to be terribly warm, so we're not going to get a lot of heat to help evaporation. But at the same time, I do see the early to mid portions of next week a little bit more settled.
I made note earlier in this show that the Minnesota statistician talked about snow. And I talked to a Minnesota farmer this week, and I think most of the producers there are fairly worried that they might get a big dump of snow before they get harvested, even in the next couple of weeks. Any snow on their forecast?
Well, yes, especially potentially the north central and western areas of Minnesota. The system coming out of the Plain States and Rockies is going to traverse there at first, bringing rain on the backside snow, although it may be more wet than white, at least initially with the system. But the weather pattern this fall, especially for most of this month of October across the northern Plain States and Rockies, has been quite turbulent and colder than normal and wetter than normal. And at least for another week, that trend will continue.
Oh, I don't know why we call and talk to you guys anymore. maybe are they having better weather in South America, possibly?
Well, it's been pretty busy all around the globe, really. But most of the weather has been in the northern hemisphere, although it does look like the chances for some precipitation, both Brazil and Argentina, is pretty good. Nothing excessive, at least at the moment. Looks like the central and western growing areas of Argentina will get some rain, a little bit dry in the northern area.
Don, always fun to talk with you, and thanks so much for the good information. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.